Book of Samuel, chapter 3, starting from verse 1.
And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision.
Word of God was very precious, and there was no open vision. And some other Bibles, it said, the word of God was very rare. That means there was no prophet. God was not speaking to children of Israel, because as we learned last week, Eli and his sons, they were not living according to the word of God. And so God was silent. God was not talking to anyone. But today we see, first time, God is going to speak to Samuel. Verse 2.
And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep.
Now here we see, Eli is getting old, and the Samuel is not a baby anymore. He's, I think, at least 12 or 13 years old. So he is doing the work in the tabernacle. His job is to open the tabernacle door and take care of the tabernacle. But I don't know, the Eli told him about the lamp should be keep on burning all night. And so the lamp was gone out. If you read in the book of Exodus chapter 27, verse 20 and 21, it says the lamb should be burning.
And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olive beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always.
Okay, the lamb should be burning always. Leviticus chapter 24.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light to cause the lamps to burn continually.
Okay, we can read up to 4, but the point I'm making, the lamp should be burning always. But the lamp is out. Eli is sleeping. Samuel is going to sleep. And I was thinking, why Eli didn't teach the Samuel to keep the lamp burning? But we see here, these people were careless. They didn't care about the tabernacle. They didn't care about the Ark of the Covenant. They didn't care about the spiritual matter. And last week we learned they were just thinking about their belly. And they wanted the best meat, even the before they offered to the Lord. And God was very angry. And we learned last week that God already sent a man. I don't know who that man was. It's not recorded in the Word of God. But one time Elijah said, Lord, I'm alone. And the queen is going to kill me. God says there are 7,000, the servants of God, they never bow down to the Baal God. They are in the city. And so there are secret servants of God. They are all around the world, but sometimes we don't know. This man's name is not given, but he came and gave the message to Eli and told him what's going to happen to your family. And the message was severe message, that his sons are going to die and God is going to allow the enemy even to destroy their tabernacle. Now, this was the message. Now, at that particular time, Eli should be repenting. Eli should be telling his sons to repent. He already told them, but they did not listen because it was too late. So, let's see what God is trying to do here and trying to talk to Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4.
That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down.
Now here we see God is speaking to Samuel, but nobody taught Samuel, when God speaks to you, what you're supposed to do. They were busy doing their works, and Samuel's supposed to be trained in the Word of God. There are some people go to Bible study and go to Bible colleges, but they do not teach them real Bible study. They sometimes teach them how to do cooking or how to do chores or how to go to different places. And Bible study time is very less. And they come and they do not know how to preach the Word of God. So now the Samuel is young man, maybe, as I said, 12, 13 years old, and he did not know how to answer God, and he did not recognize the voice of God. He only heard the voice of Eli. So he thought, Eli is calling me. And here the Word of God says, he ran to Eli. He was so scared. What happened in the middle of the night? Why Eli is calling me? So he ran and he asked him, did you call me? And he said, no, I didn't call you. At that time, Eli didn't know God was calling him, or he was just thinking Eli is calling. Let's read verse 5.
And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down.
Now here, second time, he hears the word of God. This time, Samuel is not running. First time he ran. Second time he must walk to him and he say, I think you called me. And he said, no, I didn't call. Go back and sleep. Okay, verse 6.
And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called to Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child.
Now this is the third time God called Samuel, and he's just thinking that Eli is calling him. Sometimes this happens to you also. Many times happened to me. When you love somebody and you are very familiar with that person, and that person is out of town or he's out there somewhere, and you hear that person's voice, and sometimes you think that person is there. Samuel only hears the voice of Eli. So he got to use to his voice, and even though God is calling, he felt like Eli is calling. Now this is the third time. That's the time Eli tells him, if you hear one more time, this is the Lord's calling. So Lord, here I am. I'm your servant. Speak to me. I'm here to listen. Verse 9.
Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went down and lay in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth.
Now see what happens here. Samuel was told, if you hear one more time, you said, here I am, Lord, I'm your servant. Speak to me, I'm here to listen. But Samuel, I think, got tired thinking the Eli is not telling me truth. He's the one calling. So this time Samuel, no answer. Then again says, Samuel. That's the time he said, here I am, speak. He did not say, Lord. He did not think that God is talking to him. But see, God is not angry at you. Even though Samuel was not thinking, this is God, he was still thinking, this is Eli talking to me. But God says, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, but still he did not say, Lord, here I am your servant, speak. He just says, speak to me, I'm here listening. And God starts talking to him. Let's read the verse 11.
And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever.
Now here, God did not say anything new to Samuel. I was thinking why God is talking to Samuel. Already God talked to Eli, already gave him the warning. The man of God came and gave a big lecture. Now, I don't think that Eli shared what the man of God told him. He did not say anything to Samuel, I thought. Because if Samuel came to know, then God did not have to come and tell him again the same thing. But I think he kept secret. He was embarrassed. I'm talking about Eli. He was embarrassed. This is a Samuel. He's watching every day how my children behave. And I'm not able to train them or do anything. And if I tell Samuel, Samuel might be thinking, then your children should not be working. Give me some chance to work in the tabernacle. I don't know what Eli was thinking. But he kept secret from Samuel. So God wanted to tell Samuel what I told to Eli. And he said, I'm going to do a thing in Israel. And everybody will hear and their ears will tingle. That means this thing never happened in Israel. And when they hear the terrible things happening, and they don't want to hear it. And that's the thing is going to happen. And what I'm going to do, I already warned Eli and his children, they're committing sin, and Eli is not doing anything. So now I decided to punish these people, and I'm going to destroy them, and their completely destruction is coming to the whole family. That means Eli, his children, and the future generation. And so he told him, and then one more thing he told Samuel, which he did not tell Eli or his children when the man of God came. This is a new thing he told Samuel. He thought sometimes Samuel might tell these people and they might go and do some sacrifice and try to please God. Because in those days, if they commit sin, they have to go and offer a sacrifice and their sins will be covered. And so that was the routine. So here God is saying, verse 14, he says, if they do any sacrifice or if they do any offering for their sin, I am not going to forgive their sins. That means the offering and sacrifice will not cleanse them, will not sanctify them, will not forgive them. So I have already made up my mind to destroy Eli and his family, his children. Now, you can imagine, Eli is not sleeping, he's lying down. And he's scared. What God is going to talk to Samuel? And now Samuel is not coming. And Samuel went to sleep. Eli might be not sleeping whole night. Early in the morning when Samuel comes and opens the door for the tabernacle, here he comes and say, ah, Samuel, my son, tell me what God spoke to you. Please read verse 15.
And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision.
Now here the word of God is saying, Samuel opened the door, but he is still scared of Eli. He knows that Eli is going to ask me. And then he says, God showed him in a vision. The word of God says, God came and stood by him and talked to him, but he did not see God. Samuel didn't see God. God stood by him and talked to him. And so Samuel started thinking, this is the vision God has given to me. I don't know what to do with it. So he was going to keep it to himself. But sometime when God tells you about something, about somebody, or visions, or dream, you're not supposed to hide them. You're supposed to tell them. But sometime people are scared. They don't want to tell the higher authority, or boss, or wife, or husband. They will keep quiet. And that's not the reason God tells you the vision. But Samuel didn't know anything. He was the little young boy, and he was scared of Eli, so he thought, I'm not going to share with this vision to them, and he was going to keep quiet. If Eli didn't ask him, he will never tell him. But Eli was not sleeping whole night. It doesn't say in there, but I believe he was scared and he could not sleep. He thought Samuel would come and tell him what happened, but Samuel didn't tell him. So here, he is afraid, and that's the thing comes to Samuel. He was afraid. He didn't want to talk to Eli. Verse 16.
Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from thee. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee.
Now here Eli should ask him friendly way, but he was giving him warning and scaring him. If you don't tell me what God told you, you will have more double punishment than what I am going to get. Because he knew God is going to tell him something about Eli, God is going to punish. So he said, if you don't tell, you will have more punishment. So Samuel was scared, and the word of God says he told him everything. It doesn't repeat here, but he says, told him everything, verse 18.
And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good.
Now see, he asked Samuel. Samuel did not hide anything. He told him everything. And what was his reply? He said, Let it be what God seems to good in his sight. Let him do it. Sounds like very humble. But that's what not God wanted. God says, Don't bring sacrifice. Don't bring any offering. And Samuel might have told him, This is what God says. Your offering is not going to be saving you. Your sacrifice will not help you. So what is the other thing he's supposed to do? Repent, cry unto God, and weep before God, and ask God to forgive. Lord, the sacrifice and the offering you don't need. You need my heart. And I was rebellious against you. And I was eating the good food, and I became so fat. And maybe got some disease. It doesn't say here. He lost his eyesight, and he was very heavyset. And he never rebuked his children. And the word of God says he loved children more than God. And the word of God says, why? Because the children were giving best meat. So sometimes children go and rob the bank and bring the money and give it to mom and dad, and they never ask you where the money came from. And they enjoy the money, and the time comes, sometimes whole family has to suffer. So the point I'm making here, Eli should call his children right away and tell them, sacrifice God doesn't want, because people bring sacrifice and you are stealing it. This time God doesn't want any sacrifice. God wants repentance. God wants our heart. Let's go to the tabernacle. Let's lie down there. Or let's cry to God until God forgives our sins. They had a chance. Otherwise, God had no reason to telling Samuel. God told Samuel, so now Eli should know, God sent the man of God. I didn't listen. Now God is trying to tell me from this young man. So God gave me now second warning. If I don't listen, surely these things are going to happen. But he said, Lord, let it happen. Whatever you want to do, do it. So he was not worried. He said, what's the greatest punishment? God is going to kill us. I'm going to die. But before you die, you have to repent of your sins. Otherwise, you are going to die in your sins. I don't think Eli called his children and Eli told anyone to repent. But I believe Eli got a chance to repent later on. But here the word of God is saying, when you get the warning over and over and over again and you harden your heart, the word of God said, sudden destruction will come. Okay, let's read verse 19.
And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord.
Now in this chapter is finishing here, in this chapter we learn that Samuel is now growing. Now he was 13 or 12 years old, but Samuel now, I believe, almost getting 25 or 30 years old. Now he's ready to be a prophet. God is speaking to him, and he's listening to God. And when he's talking to people, people start listening to him and start giving respect to Samuel. And this is the way Samuel is growing, and God is speaking to him. Now he doesn't have to run to Eli telling, "Did you call me?" Now he learned to listen to the voice of God, and he started teaching the children of Israel, and they start respecting him, because I don't think he was doing the things what Eli's children were doing. So here we see completely transformation happen, and God start dealing with Samuel, and God is still training the Samuel. Now I don't know how many years passed. It didn't happen like in this chapter happens, like God talked to Samuel in chapter 3 and chapter 4. Eli and his children died. It didn't happen like the next day. It happened years and years went in between, because now Samuel is grown up man. Means, I believe at least 20, 25 years passed. So now God is giving chance. How many years? 1, 2, 3, I don't know, 10, 20, 25. I don't know how much time was there. But this many years happened, but Eli and his children or his family never repented. It's a sad, sad thing. And the chapter finishes there, and we are going to go to Book of Samuel, chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Samuel, chapter 4, verse 1.
And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek.
Now here's the word of the Lord came to Samuel, but we do not know what God said to him and what he said to the children of Israel. Now here we believe enemy is attacking children of Israel. I don't know, Samuel told the Israeli people, "Your God is going to defeat the Israeli people. Those enemy will come and will destroy the tabernacle." I don't think he told them, or they knew. Because we'll see what happens here. So now Israeli people are camping at Ebenezer, and the Philistine people are camping in Aphek. Now, as you know, Philistines were defeated by Samson. Samson had a very good chance to defeat them completely. But what happened? Samson's followers did not help Samson. Not only that, they said, "Let's get out of here," and they went to other place, and they were looking for the land. We learned already in Judges. So now, in that area, there was nobody to fight with these Philistine people. Now, God inspired them. It doesn't say here, but God already told Samuel that the enemy will come and destroy. And the man of God came and told Eli that what's going to happen. Now, God sent this enemy. They're coming to attack these people. And see what happens. Verse 2.
And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men.
Now 4,000 people were defeated. And it doesn't say any Philistine people were killed or destroyed. Now Philistine people were thinking, "We are defeating these people." And now Israeli people were defeated, and they understood this has to be God. Not Philistine people destroying. God is punishing us. They already came to know. Verse 3.
And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies.
Now see, they said, God is punishing us. God has already defeated us, and we are 4,000 people died. Now what these people are thinking? I don't think the Samuel would have said to these people, let's gather together, let's worship the Lord, let's repent, because Eli is not repenting, his children are not repenting. At least all Israeli people come and we'll pray and cry unto God. If you remember, last time we learned in a book of Judges, when that priest's wife or concubine was killed by Benjaminites, what they did? They call upon God and they went to the temple and gather all people, and many people were defeated, and they did not blame God, but they kept on crying and said, Lord, what should we do? Thousands of people are dying. And God gave them the victory. But here, 4,000 people died, and they thought, you know what? God allowed these people to defeat us, but our God lives in the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant. And God used to speak to the children of Israel from the Ark of the Covenant. But they said, let's bring the God, means bring the whole Ark of the Covenant, and we'll take that box, and that box will be able to defeat the people. God does not live in the temple. God doesn't live in a box or ark. God lives in our heart. But these people didn't know. They thought maybe Ark of the Covenant will help us. And so they came and took it. At that time, Eli's two sons, they didn't say, hey, we should not take this. And this is the God's presence comes here. But they didn't care. They said, okay, that's all the children of Israel's elders says, we have to have this. So they said, okay, we'll come with you. And they were the carrying the Ark of the Covenant, means Eli's two children. Samuel didn't go. Samuel knew something is going to happen, and these people are going to be destroyed, and maybe his son and everybody is going to be destroyed. So Samuel, I don't think he went to the war, and he stayed there, but the Ark of the Covenant is taken from the tabernacle. They thought, we will have victory if God is with us. But God already left them. Verse 4.
So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore.
Now, see this enemy, Philistine, they understood something better than the Israeli people. They got the Ark of the Covenant. They start shouting very loud. Earth start shaking, and the enemy heard the sound, and the enemy was so scared, because they understood they said the gods of Israel came to fight with us. How the gods of Israel defeated the Egyptians, and God was with them, and that's the God is here in the camp, and that God is going to destroy us. And they were so scared. And some Bible, when they say guards, they put the capital G and guards. And so someone says they believed that, I'm talking about this Philistine, they have so many guards. They believe that Israeli people, when you say Elohim, that means more than one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Our God is triune God. So somehow these people came to know their God is bigger than our gods. And so their gods are here, and we are going to be defeated, And those people are very scared. They're very scared and they didn't know what to do. But see, this was already the will of God to destroy the children of Israel. But these people, God themselves, courage. They said, hey, we cannot get scared like this. We have to be courageous. Otherwise, we will be slave to Israeli people, and we don't want to do that. And so they gathered themselves the strength. See, the unity is the power. You can be have unity with the evil unity or unity with the godly people. You remember when they were making the Babel Tower? So what God said, they have unity, they have one mind, and they can do something. So let's go and change their languages. The same way these people were united, and they united, they start thinking, we should not be having fear. When you have fear, you're going to be defeated. The enemy said, we don't have to have fear. We are going to defeat these people. Please read verse 8.
Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and acquit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Acquit yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter. For there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen.
Now see, enemy were very scared, and this is the time. If Israeli people would all call upon God instead of taking the Ark of the Covenant, and call upon God and say, Lord, 4,000 people died. What is our crime? God would have revealed to them. Because Eli and his children, you know how they were serving the Lord, and you have seen this. But they did not call upon God. They thought maybe the Ark of the Covenant will do the job. And here, how many people were defeated? 30,000. And 4,000 is already defeated before. So 34,000 people died. Now somebody would say, what these people did, they didn't do anything. Eli and his children committed sin. Why these 34,000 people has to die? But this is what happened. If in your family, if one person is a bank robber or the killer or murderer, because of him, all the family suffers. So now, because of Eli's sins and his children's sins, all other people are suffering. Not only their sin, Eli and his children's sin, these Israeli people supposed to go to the tabernacle, supposed to give some sacrifice, supposed to ask God, give us victory. And Samuel was there, and Samuel was talking to God, and God was talking to Samuel, and Samuel was ministering to these people, and they were respecting Samuel. So they're supposed to go to the Samuel. Now Samuel is the prophet. They're supposed to go and say, Samuel, go to God and ask, what should we do? Shall we go back and fight? Or let 4,000 people die? And if God says, no, we will not go. But they thought, Israeli people also, they were good warriors. And 34,000 people died. And see what happens. Verse 11.
And the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army, and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent, and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the Ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out.
Now see what happens here. Eli sitting there at the gate or somewhere, he doesn't know what happened. He doesn't know that there is a war happening. He doesn't know his children took the Ark of the Covenant out of the tabernacle. At least they're supposed to tell his father, we are taking this. He would have given some advice. Samuel supposed to come and run and tell Eli, Eli, this is what's happening. But nobody said anything to him. And all these people died, up to 34,000 people died in the war. And one person, he's also a Benjaminite, he comes running. And in those days, if you have a bad news, you have to tear your clothes and put the dust in your head and then come. So as soon as you come like that, everybody will know it's a bad news. But the Eli is blind. He cannot see anything. So when that man comes running, he says, what is this all noise? Whole village, all the city, they are crying and they are weeping and they are making a lot of noise. He says, what is this noise all about? Then he tells the story. This is what is happening. Your both children died. And he gives him a news which he didn't want to hear. When he gives the news, your sons, both sons died, and he didn't care because he knew God was going to kill them anyhow. So it happened. But when he gives the news, the Ark of the Covenant is taken by Philistines. And that news hurt Eli, and he felt so bad, he got a heart attack. Let's read verse 14.
And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines. And there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years.
Now see, it's a sad thing. Man is sitting at the door of the tabernacle, and now when he got the news, even the children died, he didn't care. But as soon as he heard, the Ark of the Covenant is taken. And when the Ark of the Covenant goes in the enemy's hand, this is the first time happened. It never happened before. And that's the time the Eli's heart broke. Maybe at that time, it doesn't say he repented, but maybe that's the time he asked God, why this happened, Lord? Please forgive me if I did something wrong. And he fell backward. Somebody falls forward, you can protect yourself. But if you fall backward, no protection. He fell and his neck broke. Why the neck was broken? Because he was so heavy. And so once he fell down, he could not get up and he died instantly. In those days, no ambulance, no siren, nobody can take you to the hospital. Nobody was there to help, and he died. It's a sad thing. And the word of God says he was 98 years old. In those days, if you live 98 years old, it's a good life. It's a long life. But I don't know how many years he was blind. But the point I'm making, the man dies, and then his daughter-in-law dies, and the Ark of the Covenant is gone. And that day was the saddest day in the history of Israel's life. Okay, verse 19.
And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the Ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast born a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the Ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband.
Now here is the ending. Phinehas, his wife is pregnant. When she heard the story, just like her father-in-law, as soon as she hears about the Ark of the Covenant is taken, my husband is dead, my father-in-law is dead, and the Ark of Covenant is gone. And so fear brings her to the birth pain. This lady was so scared. What will happen to Israeli people? Now, my husband died. Both children died. My father-in-law died. But she didn't care about the Samuel is still alive. But Ark of the Covenant is gone, so she gave the birth suddenly. And the midwife is telling, hey, you have good news. Don't die. Don't worry. You'll be all right. You got a son. She didn't care about the son. She, even they heard the son, she didn't care. She gave the name to the son, what? Ichabod. Means all the glory of Israel is gone. The Ark of the Covenant is gone. And father-in-law is dead. Her husband is dead. She didn't care who is going to take care of this child. And she just gave her life and died. And so the point we see here, once God says something, he does something. Because God doesn't say something and he doesn't do. Now some people say, sometime God says something and it takes years and years and years. But when God said something, he will do it. We have to trust in the word of God. Now, Samuel didn't know what time is going to happen. Eli didn't know what time this is going to happen. But it took maybe years and years, and it happened. Now, do you know the first prophet is Enoch? He prophesied. You have to read this in the book of Jude. Enoch prophesied, the time will come. God will come from heaven with the armies of heaven, and he will destroy the sinners. And at that time, the people were so angry and they wanted to kill him, so the God took him. And so that prophecy is not yet fulfilled. How many years? Almost 6,000 years that prophecy is done. And the people are thinking, hey, 6,000 years, nothing is going to happen. Jesus Christ came and lived 33 and a half years. They killed him. He was resurrected. And he gave the message that I'm going to go and prepare the place for you. And I'll come back and take you, come back and destroy all these enemies. Almost 2,000 years passed. And nothing happened. So the people think what God says is not going to happen, but we see here. Whatever God says, it might take years, it might take some long time, but he will fulfill. Peter says, the one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a one day in the eyes of God. When God says, I'm going to destroy all the sinners, Jesus said it. Now, when Jesus Christ came and left, how many years happened? 2,000 years? So almost 2 days, right? Now one more day to go. So the third day, judgment might come. So according to the will of God, we do not know. 1,000 years can be one day can be 1,000. But what God is doing, he is giving us time to repent. He's giving us time to preach the gospel around the world. That if Jesus Christ said, I'm coming back, day of Pentecost only 3,000 people got saved. And then 5,000 people got saved. And then many people got saved. And at that particular time, first century, if Jesus Christ would have come, but then God gave us time. Like 2 days have passed. I'm not saying 1,000 years we have to live, but I'm trying to say God has timing and his calendar and our calendar doesn't match. He can come within a few minutes or he can take 1,000 years more. We do not know. But according to the prophecy, his time is almost fulfilled. The word of God is preached around the world. The television, the radio, the satellite, and the ministers are going, and they are translating different languages. I was just hearing other day the one magazine. They said now some of the people are going to the very jungle areas, and still there are people never heard the gospel, and The language they're speaking, the Bible is not available. So they are still trying to get more languages and more Bible. And I was thinking in America, you just go sometime, take a microphone, and go and ask people, do you know who Jesus is? They would say, maybe he's a leader of Israeli people or Christian people's God, but they don't know yet Jesus is their Savior. The point I'm making, God has given us enough time to preach and tell the world what the Word of God says. In the book of Ezekiel, it says, if I tell the sinners, you're going to die in your sin. And he says, if you don't go and tell that person, you're going to die in your sin. That person will die in his sin, and his blood I will ask you, require from you. If you're not born again, you will never have burden for soul. But when you're born again, then you know how God saved you. Each and every person's born again experience is different. One lady talked to me. She was in her maybe 60s or 70s. And she said, Pastor Peter, do you know how I got saved? I said, I don't know. Tell me. She said, my grandmother told me always, Jesus Christ will come and take me, and you don't repent, you will be left behind. And she said, my grandmother went somewhere and without telling her, and she looked everywhere, she called grandma. He said, maybe rapture happened, maybe grandmother went to heaven, she fell on her knees, and she called upon God, and she said, I gave my heart to the Lord. And when grandma came, she told her, I gave my heart to the Lord because I thought you disappeared. So the point I'm making, each and every person has to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have to hear it at least one time, so their blood will not come upon us. So we have to go and tell. When I got this message, when I got saved, I was crazy. Means I could not sleep. I could read the Bible 150 chapter a day, and I would pray and pray, and I was speaking in tongue and praise God. And if I go to bed and somebody comes and say, Brother Peter, could you tell me that verse you were telling? And I might in hearing in my sleep and give the answer, whatever they're asking. And next day they say, Brother Peter, you said this. And I said, when did I tell you? He said, you were in sleep and you were talking. The point I'm making, I was completely sold out to God. I started going to my old church. And that church was not born again church when I came out of that church. And I went to every believer's house and told them to come to my house. And God gave me a two house. There was a one house just like a hall. So I bought that house and I said, we'll have a prayer meeting there and start bringing to people to my house. I start going to Jew Beach and the beaches and places where nobody can go and start preaching the gospel before God even called me for the ministry. And when God called me, I said, Lord, wherever you send me, I'll go. As long as I'm breathing, and as long as I have blood flowing in my body, and as long as I'm able to speak, no retirement, and I will serve you. And thank God, so far, He has given me grace. Word of God is saying, the time is very short. Signs of His coming is very near. We don't have much time. This is the last time, the time of latter rain, time of revival. Tell them, otherwise their blood, God is going to ask us. If you are born again, child of God, you are a servant of God. And you have the responsibility to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Give us grace and courage to tell the world
about Jesus Christ. So Lord Jesus, I pray that you are going to inspire your people. Lord Jesus, help us. Supply our needs. Give us the courage to do the right thing. There are people dying without God and without Christ. Give us grace to reach to those people and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.